Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the most significant thing to report would be attendance at WAFWA, but I've already talked with my fellow commissioners about some of the good discussions we had with the other Western Association commissioners. And so I'm going to not talk about that or really anything else, because I want to use my time to acknowledge Chairman Vermillion. Of course, we'll be doing this more formally at another event, but it's most likely his last commission meeting after 12 plus years of outstanding service. And I don't know if all Montanans realize how lucky they've been to have someone with Dan's commitment, his patience, his knowledge, his demeanor, to help with these complicated issues and to preserve the beautiful things that Montana has to offer. I think it's pretty amazing to think that with all the controversy, all the things that this commission has to deal with, that he was confirmed three different times. One time, I think the budget was actually in balance over his confirmation. But I've served with over a dozen different commissioners. I wrote that out this morning, and I hope my fellow colleagues will forgive me for this, but none of them have done it better than Dan. So I've said before, Dan does this job the way it's supposed to be done. So thank you, Chairman Vermillion. You've been an example to me and many other commissioners on how you should behave yourself on this commission. And I'm sorry to see you go, obviously. And I'm going to miss sharing this with you. But again, thank you very much for your service.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, it's kind of nice to come here to the western side of the state and thaw out. I will tell you, northeastern Montana at 50 degrees below zero is cold. Other than that, winter has been fairly quiet up there. I've been visiting with Region 6 office a few times regarding CWD that was found up there and what that will do for next year's season. I'd like to thank them for the work they've been doing with that. I found it interesting, although it sounds like historically it's not completely off, but the wolf that was harvested outside of Glasgow did create some conversations with people that were interested if maybe there are more around. In Scobie, I've had quite a few conversations with people concerning the high number of deer that we're seeing, and I think that kind of stems from CWD being found. There's some concerns there, and we've had a pretty light winter thus far, so I think that just kind of adds to people's concern about it spreading. Beyond that, once again, I did the same thing last year, but as school AD, it's tournament time, so I'd like to wish the Scobie Spartans good luck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's kind of a slow month in some respects and a fast month in other respects, I guess. I had a lot of different conversations with people about some of the things that are on the agenda, so I'm not going to talk about those until we'll deal with those on the agenda. But the big one for me has been the Madison River negotiated rulemaking thing. That's been kind of stymied. Typically, we would have been down the road a little bit further than we are right now, but the furlough kind of caught us up there, and we had a facilitator that was approved by the committee, and he was unavailable because he's a federal employee. And he could not participate, had direct agency orders not to do so, the people did. So anyway, I hope that our next meeting, and just coming up here shortly, will be successful, and hopefully we'll find a way to get past the break that's needed at the Congress and with the President in order to get move forward with budgets and get things going. And it's optimistic, you know, what I've heard in the last couple of days, but I haven't heard anything final yet. I'm waiting for that signature. But anyway, that's out of my...
Have you guys had a facilitated meeting yet?
I was going to say Justin Goody came in and gave us about a three-hour session, I guess, on the structured rulemaking system. And that was excellent because I think that he's been very much a part of that process. And so he knows it well. But we spent... the day and a half, basically, and getting a lot of good information and data. You know, there was a lot of information that was provided in hard copy to people. Some of it, the mail service was terrible at that time. I don't know what in the world happened, but the Pony Express didn't come through like normal. So anyway, we had Justin helped us. Mark Delray was very helpful, and the staff there from Region 3 coming up with the data and explaining a lot of the data, where it came from, the significance of it. And Eileen Rice was there also helping carry the day. So I think it was a time well spent. Probably we may look at it and think that we could have got more done, but I think that what we received in the way of good information and and perspective was probably really a good setting to now start with the more formal process to define the problems and the objectives and the alternatives that we're going to look at in terms of dealing with the issues there. So anyway, I thank you. That's about all I have for today. I'm looking forward to the rest of the day here.
Thank you, Mr. Aldridge. Thank you, Chairman. And I would like to echo what Commissioner Colton said. The 6 years that I've served with you has been a pleasure here. You've been a tremendous resource. And you may not know it, but you're probably going to get some calls the next 2 years yet for information. So you're not off the hook yet. But thanks, Dan, for your service.
Thank you.
It has been kind of slow up there, as Commissioner Logan said. CWD, I did talk with Mark Sullivan and Gary Bertolotti on the CWD up in our area. And as Commissioner Aldridge said, I've got a lot of emails and conversations from people dealing with what's on the agenda today. The other thing, I did go to a trapper committee in Great Falls on the 31st, which was very interesting, to say the least. They spent the first 2.5 hours deciding whether they wanted to meet or not, and or go home. And they did decide to stay, but the members of the committee. Half of them wanted to go home, and the main things that caused that problem was there was a bomb threat up in Kalispell, I understand, against a trapper. Also, different organizations have had bills introduced over here, and that caused some angst on the committee. I wish we could have been through that process before the legislation started. And I think it would have went better, but we were being pushed there, some of these groups felt if they were going to get anything introduced, they had to get it introduced before the committee got done. And that caused a lot of angst, as I said. But with that, I have nothing further.
Thank you, Rich. Okay, so Region 3, Region 3 has been relatively quiet as well. Our office is right on Highway 89 south of Livingston, and I have to say that I have not seen a ton of bison coming down the road in the back of trucks, so I assume that means the hunt's been kind of slow down there. I'm not sure, but my sense is it has been. Yesterday was a big day in Park County. They did finally, after I don't know how many years at this point, but passed the Yellowstone Gateway Protection Act, which would close off the area right around Yellowstone Park, and particularly Paradise Valley, to mining activity. And while that is an incredible victory for our community and for the rural, the fishing, the tourism, the ranch community, was kind of one of those group efforts that kind of brought a lot of different people together from different points of view, but all sort of committed, equally committed to the area and kind of preserving our rural way of life. It's always struck me as unfortunate, when somebody decides to put a mine in somewhere close to Yellowstone Park or near Livingston or Bozeman, it's pretty easy to get people focused very quickly when it comes to cold water resources. More prestigious megafauna like grizzly bears, wolves, elk, what have you. But, seems like when you get a little bit east of Livingston, things change pretty quickly as to how we interact and how we view some of those developments. But I think it's good to know that democracy still works. Thank you. Deep thanks. I know there are a lot of other great provisions in that bill that hopefully will help this department and the sportsmen and women of Montana moving forward. I got a lot of phone calls the last few weeks about crossbows and the crossbow bill in the legislature that passed yesterday. I think one of the things that I haven't seen, I have not been involved in the legislature this year, but one of the things I don't see a lot of discussion, at least in the newspapers, about is just the potential impact that might have to how this commission goes about allocating archery opportunity. And if you look at the 20 districts outside of the breaks, or you look at the breaks themselves, you know, both of those are archery opportunities that are oversubscribed, but they're not oversubscribed to the point where it's a once-in-a-lifetime tag. You had 15,000 new applicants to those sort of limited draws, and, you know, this, I think people will see a dramatic erosion of their archery opportunity in Montana. And I think it's, it has not, this is not something that's been, you know, this commission has consistently, we passed a technology matrix 2 or 3 years ago specifically to address these questions. It was brought to us by either traditional bow hunters or the Montana bow hunters, but, you know, it worked pretty well, and it's why we moved forward with Lighted Knox, because we went through that analysis and we felt like that was something that would not erode the fair chase element of the hunt, but would improve, in fact, game retrieval and improve efficiency, effectiveness of archers. So we thought that was a good, you know, it wasn't something that we necessarily, you know, were pushing for, but it was certainly something that enough folks wanted to see changed, and it, you know, it passed our fair chase muster. I do think that this crossbow issue is, while seemingly benign, maybe on its face, there's some pretty serious implications for how we manage archery opportunity and ultimately rifle opportunity in Montana if you're going to add this whole new field of harvest during that month of September. So I would encourage people to pay really close attention to that. I would encourage people to you know, base their decision on, you know, the vision they want to see for Montana and how the, you know, whether, you know, what sort of Septembers they want to spend in the field. A lot of phone calls on shoulder seasons. We're going to talk about those today. I did attend a pretty interesting meeting. I think, Rick, you were there, Rich, as well, with MOGA. Had their annual convention. I think it was the 12th of January, give or take. But they were trying to trying to basically figure out where the outfitting community was as it related to the permit structure and the – not the permit structure so much as the who was going to – you know, just basically how we're going to manage the Yellowstone use on the Madison. And there were a lot of – I think generally speaking, you know, and I think we saw this in April, there was widespread support or acknowledgement that something needs to be done. Nobody was quite sure what. And that is where Tim and his team are going to have a lot of work to do going forward. I think that, you know, the more communication that can occur on that front ahead of time, the better off we are. There was some concern and some push to add new members because they felt like there weren't enough folks from Ennis or, I guess, West Yellowstone, if I remember correctly. And that's tricky when you're only, I think you have 8 department members and the two of you. So there's only so many spots, and, you know, this commission tried to, I think, pick the best team we thought possible to, based on the applications, to come up with a decision that would be put out for public comment and public review. As Commissioner Colton mentioned, we did attend WAFWA down in Tucson, probably, well, I guess it was the first January, Director Williams, and, you know, of the two key things that we saw there, I thought that was really encouraging, or that were really encouraging. One was that the state of Wyoming seemed to have kind of a different approach to brucellosis and CWD. I think it was the first time that I've seen in the 12 years that I've been on this commission. It felt like they were more frank in their discussions. They weren't as defensive, and they acknowledged the problem. And they also acknowledged and freely said, we know this is a problem, at least that's how I perceived what they were saying, but we don't really have the tools, the political power, I mean, I understand that. That's Wyoming, and that's a long ingrained system of wildlife management, but I think if you look at the Huffington Post today, one of their lead articles is about zombie deer and how they're spreading the potential CWD to spread to people. And most of the research they're citing in the article is the same research that this commission heard about a year or two ago. Cocky monkeys and what have you, where there were examples potentially where that could be passed on by consuming meat. But all of the scientists that I have spoken to and the scientists that are quoted in this article kind of seem to say that it wasn't a matter of when, it wasn't a matter of if, it was more a matter of when eventually that CWD, you know, maybe 20, 30 years down the road, but that there are some really long-term potential health effects to human beings that eat. So I think it's something to be – that's why this department and this commission take it so seriously. And I think of all the problems that this department faces and the people of Montana faces, it relates to our wildlife management going forward. It's one of the most vexing issues, and it's hard to overstate its seriousness. And as both the commissioners mentioned, this probably is my last commission meeting. I assume it is. I don't know when my replacement will be appointed. You know, I didn't really prepare remarks, but I just wanted to, you know, there's a lot of folks here from the department today that I think that you guys do a really amazing work. And it's been one of my great honors as a person, as a Montanan, to be on this commission. And the part of it that's been most rewarding for me is just working with all of you, because I think one of these, you know, a lot of government workers, and I think all of us out in the private sector, until we start interacting more, you know, more in depth with the public sector, you don't realize just how committed folks are to making this system work and how many ways this system does work for average people, and what an incredible state, and especially in the fish and wildlife arena, we managed. And you can travel the world, and I do, fishing, and you will not find a state where, and you won't find a country really, but really a state in Montana, that we have better access, better opportunity for the average hunter and fisherman. And that's because this agency, this commission, and the landowners and the sportsmen have a history of working together to come about, come, you know, bring up these and create these solutions that work. And you know, I've done as much as I feel like I can. I haven't always, it hasn't always been successful. But I do think that, you know, this commission, this department, and its staff has done a remarkable job. And I think that, you know, I'm sure when you go up to the legislature and get regularly beat on the head every 2 years, it's kind of hard to feel like people appreciate all your hard work. And a lot of times as commissioners, we only hear complaints. And one of the neat things about retiring from the commission is that you do hear a lot of appreciation for your work, your service. And it's been, you know, I think I got on this commission before I had kids. I've got three kids under 10 or under 12. So it's been a long haul. It's been a great run. It's really been enjoyable. And, you know, working with these commissioners as well, you know, these are all volunteers. And we've had, I think Shane mentioned, it was like 12 or 13 commissioners we've served with over the 12 years. And without exception, some of them were only here for one meeting. But without exception, you know, I think they are hardworking folks, just like the folks in the legislature, folks in this department that really care about the state. So, you know, as long as this commission is filled with people who understand what's at stake and the importance of fish and wildlife to this state's traditions, its hunting and fishing traditions, its wildlife watching traditions, I think we're in good, we're in a really good spot. Not without our challenges, but something that, you know, I think we should all be really optimistic about the future, because we still have a lot. We still have fish and wildlife to manage, and there aren't a lot of parts of the world where they can still say that. So I think that you know, when you go up every day when you wake up and you have kind of a hard day ahead of you, just remember that, you know, the work you're doing today will make future generations really appreciate all the work you've done and make it worth living in a place like Montana versus New York City. So, you know, I hope this probably is my last meeting, but I really, you know, the first time I even really spent much time thinking about the commission was when I think Shane got appointed back in 2004 or 2005, and we were sitting in a goose field. And Shane and I used to hunt a lot down by Hysham and Forsyth, and we get skunked a lot. And this was a day, and partially because we'd sit in the blind and we had TVs and we'd be watching football or talking and what have you, and then wonder why the geese didn't land. But this day we really had it going on. And we were on the verge of a double, I mean, getting our limit for the day and 2 days in a row, which was unprecedented for us. And it was when Brian Schweitzer, Governor Schweitzer, canceled the bison season, I think it was in 2005. We had to leave when we only had one goose left to get. And I was a little bit incredulous, but we did it. And we haven't gotten that close to our limit again, I don't think. But, you know, I guess at that time I should have known the commission's a lot of work and a lot of voluntary work. But, you know, it's been a real honor, and I thank you guys for serving with me, and thank you to all of you. And thanks to both Governor Schweitzer and Governor Bullock for having the confidence in me to appoint me, and to the legislatures that have confirmed me. Hopefully I lived up to your trust, and to John Brendan, well, I'm still here, and I'm leaving on my terms, and nothing could make me happier. So with that, we'll go ahead and pass it over to Director Williams, but thank you all very much for your support over the years, and hopefully this isn't my last meeting, but it probably is, but we'll just see how it all turns out. So thanks a lot.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, that's a hard act to follow. I should be channeling Ron Osham right now to be brief, be bright, and be gone. Do I have the order correctly? But I won't take his advice perfectly this morning because I'm not quite willing to say goodbye yet or recognize that this could be your last commission meeting. I've been going on the assumption that perhaps there would be more. So we certainly will have a more formal opportunity to thank you and embarrass you with all of your accomplishments. But I do now with this opportunity just want to thank you for your work. It's really you're an unsung hero. To think of doing this for 12 years as a volunteer is remarkable. And you've done it with commitment, with capability, and I think also always recognizing how lucky we are to have the public engaged in what we do and have the resources we have before us. So it's always nice to be a director of an agency where you recognize our employees too for their commitment and hard work. And that's that partnership has been critical. So I can't thank you enough, thank you. But I will thank you again and embarrass you as well, I hope so. So